Hi there, and welcome to A Different Way of Seeing. Have you ever wondered how a disabled person lives their life? Join our host, Lois Drachen, as she chats to people about work, education, travel, sport, the arts, and leisure, and the tools and techniques they use to live their lives with the disability. And now, on with the show.
Hi there, it's Lois. If you're a person with a disability who's wanting to achieve a goal and is looking for some help to get there, then maybe I'm the person you need to talk to. Listen after the interview and find out more details of how I can help you to reach your goals and dreams. Thanks today to Hindenburg Pro for assisting us in producing the show. That's Hindenburg.com. Hindenburg. It's all about the story. Hi there, and welcome to today's episode of A Different Way of Seeing, a podcast where we talk all things disability. I'm Lois Strachan, and I'm the host of the podcast. Today, we are going to be talking about disability and entrepreneurship. More specifically, we're talking about a brand new book that has been published that deals with entrepreneurship for persons with disabilities. And I am so excited to be chatting to the compiler of that book, Kat Paas. Kat, welcome to A Different Way of Seeing. It is so good to chat to you today.
The feeling is entirely mutual. Thank you, Miss Lois, for inviting me. This is a thrill.
Oh, and it's so good to chat to you. And with this new book coming out, and that is, it's such an important topic. And I'm really excited to dive a little deeper into the book, the people who are involved, and yeah, just a little bit about your background. And maybe we should start there. So just to give my audience a little bit of context, can you please just tell us a little bit about yourself and your work?
Thank you, Ms. Lois. I am happy to do so. My name is Katrina Paas, and my nickname is Kat, hence the name Kat Paas. And no, it is not literally meow, meow, cat's paws. But a lot of people ask me now if it's a hearkening to a pet or if it's my real name. And it's truly my real name.
Yeah, I did find that my screen reader, when it first read it to me, was like, cat paws? Really? So, okay, thank you for explaining that. Please carry on.
Absolutely. I was born and raised in Manila in the Philippines, and we migrated to the U.S. X number of years ago. It's been quite a thrill to be able to navigate the two kinds of cultures. And as part of that, work within the disability space in the two countries. My big why is my only sibling is my brother, Jerry, who is neurodivergent. That is why I have been more and more involved within the people with disabilities community.
Great. And I think it's always a question that I like to have explained, because so seldom do we see people who don't have a personal link with disability who work within this space. So understanding your why, your connection, I think gives us a good context for the conversation that we're going to have today. Can you tell us a little bit about the work that you do? What is your background?
Absolutely. I am a programmer. I work in the biotech and pharma industry. I have my master's degree in public health. So it's quite a divergence from working within the disability space. What I can say that is quite similar would be finding systems to be able to make life easier. That's a commonality in the two worlds. The being able to think on one's feet is another commonality that I find in the two worlds. I would say making lemons and making them into lemonade. That is something you get what you get, and then you figure out what to do with it and you find solutions. I'm trying to think of how my background actually led into working with people with disabilities and led into this book. I thought about this a little bit, and I realized that I've been a people manager for over a decade now. Mm-hmm. And the gathering of disabled entrepreneurs to become authors and keeping the project management pieces in line was very close to what one does as a people manager. It was an unexpected twist of activity.
And I think, you know, as a manager, one of the beauties of, well, the important skills that you need to exhibit if you're going to be successful as a manager is the ability to work with diverse people whose communication styles may be diverse, whose operating styles may be diverse. And maybe there's something there as well that feeds into the book and the process that you followed.
There are absolute similarities in the two worlds. It really comes down to different people are people. Yeah. So they come with a set of different personalities, preferences, mm-hmm. motivations. Just as a quick call out, I was trying to ring fence everyone into doing certain work, and in the middle, life happened. So negotiating timelines, trying to find solutions were true in the creation and collation in this book as it is in real life when you are mm-hmm. trying to chase a deadline at work.
For sure. I think that's a really important skill as well. So we've talked a little bit about the book. Why not introduce us to the book? Tell us the title, the subtitle. And maybe if you've got it with you, you can let us see it for those who are watching on the YouTube channel.
So. Absolutely. I'm going to share the only physical copy I have of the book, which is in publisher terms, the proof, mm-hmm. meaning it's not for resale. So for folks who just aren't aware, very quickly, the proof is the physical copy that you get as an author so that you can review for formatting. So I'm going to just flash that on the screen. It is a blue, dark blue, sky blue book cover. The title is Trailblazing and Transforming Success Stories of Entrepreneurs with Disabilities. I know it's long. We voted on this in a poll. This is what we came up with. And Lois, if it's okay, I'll just describe really quickly the graphic on top.
Sure, no problem.
There was a wonderful process that went into this. So on top are three professional individuals. One of them has a prosthetic leg. Another one has a red-tipped white cane. And the other person, a woman, is sitting in a wheelchair. All of them look to be going to work in a professional capacity. And all of them are represented as people with disabilities. That's the cover.
I love that. And the title is so great. You know, the Trailblazing and Transforming Success Stories of Entrepreneurs with Disabilities.
But you got it, Lois.
Yeah, I've practiced. So I suppose for me, the question that I'm really sitting with is, as the one that's top of mind, is why do you feel that entrepreneurship is such an important topic for persons with disabilities?
In many cases, for people with disabilities, and definitely for the people who are authors of this book, entrepreneurship was one of the very few viable paths available for them to be able to earn some kind of living. Because a lot of entrepreneurs with disabilities were once job seekers with disabilities. And once a disability was found, or if the disability was visible, that narrowed down choices and significantly decreased the chance of securing employment. Because of that, these individuals are forced or pushed or challenged to become entrepreneurs to forge their own paths. That is why it is so significant.
I'm aware of some of the statistics from countries around the world, but why is it that people with disabilities struggle so much to find places within mainstream employment? What do you think is the biggest barriers that they're facing?
I'm not going to be able to give the statistics behind this, but I have read quite a number of articles and stories behind this. Mm-hmm. The story, if you will, that I have read about a lot is that smaller companies are afraid of hiring people with disabilities because they might not have the financial means to support someone with a disability, meaning that accommodations must cost a lot. Mm-hmm. There is also another perceived notion that people with disabilities will call in sick a lot. Mm-hmm. Because they will need to have a lot of medical appointments given their disabilities. The bigger companies have the means and the structure to be able to form initiatives to be able to hire people with disabilities, and they try to do that. It's not perfect because that lends itself to only hiring individuals with disabilities within certain tasks, within certain job families. And then there's the whole factor of what's happening to the DEI movement in the United States, yeah, which is further tearing down the initiatives that were already put in place for the companies that had the means to hire the people with disabilities.
In conversations that I've had, you know, with this podcast and just in conversations that I've had with colleagues, I think there's also the aspect of the stereotype, the mindset that is so prevalent in society today that people with disabilities simply are not capable. And that's a really difficult one to overcome because it almost precedes you into the room if you make it as far as an interview for mainstream employment. Do you have any thoughts on that one? What do you think that that's a valid sense that I'm getting?
It is definitely a valid sense. The sense that I have gotten from reading stories about this is that there is a perceived fear of hiring someone with a disability because it will be, quote, harder to work with someone with a disability. Mm-hmm. Whether that means, just like I said before, having to pay for accommodations, yeah, having to change your workplace physically to accommodate these individuals, having to integrate socially a person with a disability with everyone else who's working in a space. Mm. These are things that hiring managers grapple with.
Yeah.
And there are some HR groups that are very savvy and very supportive of hiring inclusivity. With inclusivity, I swear I can speak tonight. And there are others who are just fearful of the ramifications in many different ways. Your sense is spot on, Ms. Lewis.
So then, entrepreneurship as an alternative to mainstream employment. Why do you feel that it's such a good fit for those of us who live with a disability?
It is a great fit for people with disabilities because folks can then form their means of living on their own terms. Now, this happens with everyone, you would hope, that when you go into a job or you start your own business, that you look at what your gifts are, what you're good at, what you enjoy doing, and what can add value to the world.
Yeah.
And really, I say this with all my heart. Individuals who are not disabled do not realize how hard it is for people with disabilities to survive in a world that was not designed for them. But you know what? the very people with disabilities have found ways, mental, physical, social, emotional ways to live in this world. And things that we do normally actually have accommodations that people with disabilities have figured out. Just the fact that they are able to navigate in a world that was not made for them speaks volumes to their capacity, speak volumes about their talents, skills, resilience, courage. That people without disabilities do not need to face every single day.
You know, I often say that one of the skills in my own life that has really played a powerful role in helping me become successful as a person with a disability is the fact that I've always loved solving puzzles. And life becomes, you know, for me as a blind person, my life has become a series of little puzzles that I need to solve. So that is a skill that is fundamentally important in business, because business does, through its very nature, it's not all plain sailing. It's not all easy going. You do constantly get faced by these little challenges, these little puzzles that you need to work your way through. Now, that's true for persons with disabilities or persons who are non-disabled.
Correct.
But it's an inherent talent that we as people with disabilities, we have no choice but to develop. So I'm fascinated by this topic about the abilities, the skills that are inherently part of the disability conversation that feed into so many different areas of our lives, and yet are not valued or not visible to people who have no contact with disability.
That's correct. Lois, I just have something to add here. The book just got released yesterday, and there's about 9 reviews right now sitting on the Amazon website. And there was a theme in there of, I didn't realize that a lot of individuals with disabilities become entrepreneurs. I didn't realize why that was. The other thing was that I didn't realize that little things I could do in my life will make life so much easier for these individuals. And dare I say, it might become easier for my life when I get a little bit older. We're talking about curb cuts. We're talking about text that's readable and well laid out. Things that are not expensive nor hard to do can be applied if there was just an awareness.
I'm so tempted to dive down into this topic because, you know, the one that springs to mind to me immediately, and obviously you've mentioned the curb cuts, you've mentioned a number of different elements, but for me, the big one is the way that the sighted world has embraced audiobooks, which of course were developed initially for people who are blind and visually impaired and unable to engage with the print medium, people with dyslexia, people who just simply are not given the opportunity. It's a different way of interpreting with the print word. And yet nowadays, we see people talking about audiobooks all over the place. And it's amazing many of those items that have been developed as ways to enable people with disabilities have been adopted as being more convenient for the non-disabled communities as well. So that it is definitely a topic we could dig into at great length.
Yes.
But I'm wanting to focus on the book. So
you got it.
Right. Let's look a little bit then at the authors of the book. What are the disabilities that are covered in your book? Which you know, your authors have different disabilities. You've already mentioned that. What disabilities are represented through the authors in the books?
Absolutely. We have Kalina, who is deaf. We have quite a number of visually impaired folks in the book as well. We have Nick, who is in a wheelchair and is also legally blind. Mm-hmm. We have Tisha, who was born without arms. And we have a couple of individuals who are considered neurodivergent, whether that be related to PTSD or having bipolar conditions or having some kind of other emotional conditions that lead them into a disabled path. So we had quite an array of different people's disabilities, if you will, in addition to the different businesses that they started, and also even the countries that they came from. It's not a lot, but five countries are in fact represented in this book. So the diversity in disability, in background, in entrepreneurship path, and also even in geographical location was represented in this book. Unintentionally, but it was good to get so many flavors.
I love the diversity there, because the reality is that different disabilities face different challenges. In different countries, different nationalities, the acceptance of people with disabilities and the integration can be different as well. So the diversity, I think, is very important to make the value of the book as broad and as wide, the relevance. It will be relevant to people from different spheres in the world, from developing countries, first world countries, third world countries. I think that's really important to do, because that way the book will be bringing the greatest amount of value to the largest amount of people. So I suppose from there, who do you feel should read Trailblazing and Transforming? Who is your target audience?
We named three target audiences. Ms. Lois, this is so funny, because when we first started gathering the book, I didn't know what the stories would manifest into. And it took me taking a step back to realize that there were three audiences for the book. Number one would be the authors speaking to other people who have pretty similar circumstances, yeah, or at least stories of being told no over and over again, or you can't. Those would be individuals out there who are dreaming of starting their own businesses, mm-hmm, and they have disabilities. The other one would be folks, to be honest, just like me, the compiler of the stories, supporters of the disability community, who want to know how to support entrepreneurs. Because to be honest, not a lot of us are aware of how many people actually have disabilities who are business owners and that we can support. The last one speaks to the economic viability of the disabled entrepreneur as a whole. So those would be the policymakers and the owners of companies who might or should consider partnering and collaborating, yeah, with the entrepreneurs with disabilities. We ended up with three avatars, if you will, for the book.
That's great to hear. And I think you're absolutely right. I think even beyond that, I think the broader business community would benefit from understanding that, you know, this is an option. There are people out there who are leading successful lives and yet may be doing things using different tools and different techniques, which is, after all, what I feel that is really the only difference between me as a person with a disability and a person without a disability. The only difference, I can do everything that a person without a disability can do. I just may use different tools and techniques. And those different tools and techniques are not in any way inferior. So I'm fascinated to learn more and see how the book will find a home in the different communities that are receptive to reading it. So
What do you feel that people will learn most from reading the book?
From what I have seen the reviewers have said, it has come to the resilience and the strength of people with disabilities and how individuals who don't necessarily have disabilities can tap into that. There's one reviewer who said that when I am starting to doubt myself, I will pick up this book, read a chapter, and remind myself why I am capable of picking myself up. To be honest, I think that is the biggest lesson here, is that the strength of spirit is in all of us. Yeah. But it is, dare I say it, even stronger in this community. Because again, the individuals who are represented in this book, the individuals, Ms. Lois, that you represent, constantly have barriers thrown in their way. And they find ways to puzzle solve, find ways around it, and find ways to thrive despite of it. That's what I think the lesson is.
I often, and when I'm giving one of my presentations, I tell people that I enjoy having the ability to find my way round, over, or straight through an obstacle that is placed in my way. And I think that in itself becomes not just liberating to understand as a person with a disability, but also it can be, and I don't want to use the word inspiring because I have issues with that, but I think it makes people think differently who don't have the awareness of disability, just making people become a little more receptive, a little more open-minded to the lives that we live as folk with disabilities. So, yeah, interesting. The broad range of learning that can come from reading the book that you've compiled. So where can people find trailblazing and transforming success stories of entrepreneurs with disabilities? Where is it available?
It is available currently on Amazon. There are links to it in the different countries that have Amazon, Canada, the US, the UK. I know that there are countries that do not necessarily have easy access to Amazon. And right before our call, Ms. Lois, I was on another Zoom with our web designer. We are putting together a website so an accessible PDF book can be bought across the world for this.
That's fantastic to hear. We will share the links to the book in the show notes or the episode description, so that those who are able to easily access it from Amazon on Kindle or in print can choose to do so. And then, you know, we will, as soon as the web page becomes available for others who wish to buy an accessible PDF version, we will make that available to the viewers and listeners as well.
Absolutely. I am so excited. There is also a funny call out by one of the reviewers that made me smile. The reviewer said, I didn't realize until the third chapter why there were descriptions of the pictures or the headshots of the authors. And then it hit me. I thought I was very helpful to the disability community, but I missed this by a mile. It's so funny how those little things make a difference. I just had to point it out.
Yeah. And sometimes a small difference can suddenly provide context. Yeah. So, Kat, I would love to let my audience learn a little bit about your writing style, your book. Is it possible that we can ask you to read a short extract from the book for us?
Yes, please. I would be honored. I would be so honored. Let's see. I think I will go for one of the pieces that I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chapter here just called Some Notes for Our Readers.
Okay.
The time you've spent to learn about disabled entrepreneurs' journeys will create ripple effects. You now realize the real-world impact of accessibility from websites to the workplace. You now understand how much emotional and mental resilience is required for people with visible disabilities to start a business. If you are disabled and you have entrepreneurial dreams, you now have some insights on finding funding and community support. That's an excerpt.
Thank you. And I think that in my mind creates more curiosity, more need to discover more about the how and the details of gaining that information. Thank you for sharing that. So Kat, if people would like to reach out to you personally and find out more either about yourself or about the book, how can they find you?
Absolutely. My website is called leapground.com. There's a contact me link in there. And it's LEAPGROUND. It's like a frog leaping and then falling onto the ground. Otherwise, Ms. Lois, I will give you all of my social media handles as well. And on the website for the book, there is an offer of checklist so people can reach out to me via that avenue as well.
Brilliant. Thank you. We'll include those contacts as well, along with the other links in the episode description. So Kat, as a final question, if someone were to approach you as a person with a disability and they wanted to start exploring the world of entrepreneurship, what advice would you give them of where they should start?
I would ask this person to first identify what he or she enjoys doing and is good at. Then the other pieces can come in. It really starts from within, because you do not want to start a business or start a career with something that other people tell you to do. Mm. You need to enjoy doing it. And from there, you can figure out how can you make money out of this. And then from there, you can figure out how do you get community support so you can launch this off the ground. And then you start widening your concentric circles of influence. But it needs to start from within. It needs to start from your personal path. That's what I would say first.
Yeah, and that's looking at your strengths, your abilities, your passions, your skills. All of those aspects are very fundamental when considering this, I think. Kat, thank you so much for coming and sharing a little bit about the new book. And just as a reminder, that is, we've been chatting to Kat Paz, who is the compiler of the book Trailblazing and Transforming, Success Stories of Entrepreneurs with Disabilities. And it compiles the stories of 12 entrepreneurs who are living with disabilities and have achieved success in their businesses. Kat, I've really enjoyed chatting to you today. Thank you so much for sharing the book with us, the extract, and a little bit about the story behind the book and about the importance of entrepreneurship for those living with disabilities. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Lois again. I'm not certain if you know, but I am a coach who works specifically with people with disabilities. If you have a disability and are wanting to achieve your goals, or maybe think through some of the challenges that you're facing in your professional or personal life, or want to take up a new opportunity, a new adventure, but just don't seem to be able to get to doing it. Let's explore how I can help you. Hop onto the Contact Me form on my website, www.loisstrachan.com. That's Loisstrachan, LOISSTRACHAN.com. And sign up for a 30-minute discovery call so we can chat to see if I am the right person to help you to achieve your goals. Contact me now for that free 30-minute discovery call on loisstrachan.com. I'd love to have the opportunity of helping you to achieve your goals.
Thank you for listening to A Different Way of Seeing. We would love to connect with you, so find Lois at loisstrachan.com or Facebook Lois Strachan Speaker. This podcast was edited by Craig Strachan using Hindenburg Pro. Hindenburg, it's all about the story. The credits are done at Naledi Media. Naledi Media, all your vocal needs under one roof. Read by Charlie Jassy. That's it for now. Thank you for joining us and see you next time when we bring you into the world of seeing differently.